I know it sounds kind of strange, and maybe it's a little bit hard to grasp, but try to hang in there with me for a moment. Our very nature, who I am, my essence, has been radically changed when I came to faith in Christ. I became a child of God. I took on the very righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. That's who I am. You say, well, if that's who I am, then why do I still sin? Because there is this force of sin that dwells within my flesh. And I inherited that force, that propensity, that rule that some people call it, that I inherited all the way from Adam and Eve. Every single human being born into the world has this problem, this force of sin dwelling in our flesh, even as a Christian. But this is so important to understand. My real nature, who I am, who I will be for all eternity with God, I have been changed because I'm now in Christ. I'm now sinless. But I still sin. Why do I still sin? Why do I have this struggle? Because this force of sin that dwells within my flesh is there until I leave this flesh behind. That's why when Christians die, when we go home to be with the Lord, if you've ever wondered about it, there's no longer, not only is there no longer death or sickness or any kind of pain, but we are in the presence of God, and we will no longer struggle with temptation. We'll no longer struggle to do the right thing. We will be in the presence of God. Our nature, who we are, who we were from the very moment we trusted in Christ, will leave behind the sin in the flesh. There's no longer a struggle, as the Apostle Paul talks about. You know, the desire to do good, but I find myself doing, you know, what I don't want to do. It's like, wow. But that's the struggle in the Christian life for now. For now. And how do we gain victory? As the Apostle Paul says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. You've heard me talk about this before, and I don't want to belabor it, but you know, one of my personal struggles in my Christian life happens every time I get behind the wheel and I'm driving. Now, just this morning, driving to church, I live in Elk Grove, I take I-5 north, so I get on usually at Hood Franklin, you know, because I live in the south part of Elk Grove. That's my route. Hood Franklin on I-5 north, I get off at Fruit Ridge. Well, okay, I thought about it this morning because obviously I'm preaching about it and I knew I was going to mention something about my driving. It's a struggle for me every time because of certain attitudes I have. I tend to be impatient. I tend to be in a rush, even when I'm not late for an appointment or anything. I'm just in a hurry for some strange reason. And that leads to a tendency to speed. Okay, now I know, and I think some people have verified this for me, that if the speed limit is 65, you can safely go within 5 miles of the speed limit and pretty much know you're not going to get stopped by the police, okay, up to 70. Well, if I'm going over 70, then many times the flow of traffic, and that's a very convenient excuse, is, well, the flow of traffic is going 75, 80. I mean, I don't want to get run over. Well, when it gets to three lanes, you can pretty much maneuver your car, your vehicle, in a way that you can stay within, you know, 65 to 70 and not be a nuisance to everybody else who's flying by you, okay? But I find it for myself, it's still a struggle to do that, even if there's not a lot of traffic or whatever. And unless, the struggle going on in my mind is, there's these two different thoughts, right? One thought is, hey, you know what? As long as I'm not hurting anybody, as long as I'm not endangering anybody, as long as I'm not, hopefully not, in risk of actually getting a ticket, then I can kind of drive as fast as I want. The other voice is saying, remember what God's word says about submitting to the authorities? And whether you agree or not with the speed limit, if the speed limit's been set at 65, you really shouldn't go more than 70. Even if there's nobody else on the road. Okay, so now it's just a personal, oh yeah, I see people looking at one another. Like, yeah, okay, well, just, let's stop the finger pointing and the little, whatever. This is just me sharing with you about this kind of struggle. And some of you may think it's just a little thing, but actually for me, it's not a little thing anymore because it's been going on for years. And for me, it becomes so now when I get in the car, I have to actually start thinking, what am I going to start thinking about? I'm going to start thinking about, am I going to submit to the authorities the way God wants me to? or am I just going to go do my own thing? And you say, well, you know, there's the added risk being a minister. If you do get caught, which I have in my lifetime, I've gotten a number of tickets. It's always interesting getting pulled over by the police, rolling down the window and thinking, you know, is anybody else going to be passing by saying, wasn't that Pastor Lewis? It's just like, yeah, great. Way to go, Pastor Lewis. Good testimony. Make sure you don't mention anything about our church, you know. So it's just kind of like, there's this added thing, you know, but let's face it. If you're not a minister, if you're a child of God because of your faith in Christ, then we represent Jesus Christ everywhere, all the time, not only with our actions, but certainly with our attitudes, our words, the way we treat people, and everything that's going on internally as well. So this continues to be a struggle. And I thank God that, you know, over the last, 30 years, 35, 40 years, it's gotten a lot better. I mean, I'm driving a whole lot better now than I used to. And you say, wow, hear stories of what I was doing 35 years ago. Well, anyway, we're all on this journey. And hopefully we learn and we understand that what goes on in my mind and in my attitudes will eventually affect my actions and my behaviors. And so I'm asking God, help me to have a better attitude of being submissive to the authorities, because being submissive to the authorities is also a way I gain greater understanding and appreciation of what it means to submit to God. See, I don't submit to the authorities ultimately because of just the authorities. And by the way, you know, one of the things I think about is, am I driving in a way that, you know, like once in a while when a CHP or Sacramento Police, some law enforcement vehicle pulls up alongside of you, do I have to suddenly change, you know, like take my foot out? They said, don't hit your brake, because you know when they see you hit your brakes when they're going by, they kind of know you're speeding. So you just take your foot off the accelerator and you just start coasting a little bit. But the whole idea is, do I have to change my behavior now that there's a law enforcement agent there and I'm afraid of getting a ticket? You know, do we? Do I make a complete stop at the stop sign or the red light and not the California yellow stop where I'm just coasting through or whatever because I see a law enforcement agent and I'm afraid of getting a ticket? Now you say, well, that's a good motivation. Okay. And you know, you say, well, if God is right there with me, I can say, well, I'm afraid of displeasing God. You know, I mean, that's more important than displeasing a police officer. But I'll tell you a higher motivation I thought about this morning, even as I thought about, you know, following the speed limit rather than just speeding. I thought, it's not just that I'm afraid of getting a ticket or even just the idea that I'm displeasing God Almighty, but the idea that, you know, that God wants us to be motivated because of his love, because of everything God has done for me. You know, is it so much that he's telling me to obey and submit to the authorities and to the laws and stuff? And so I want to submit to God, not because just because I'm afraid of getting a ticket or because I'm afraid God's going to strike me with a lightning bolt, but more importantly, as I stop and I think, God, you know, everything you've done for me in my life, is this really such a big deal? No. So by submitting to the authorities, submitting to the speed law, I'm hopefully having just a moment in my own mind and in my life and behavior, a moment of really, it's worship. It's like, God, you're just an amazing, incredible, loving, merciful God. And you've told me that I should behave this way, and I'm going to do it because I appreciate who you are and all that you've done for me. So you do it out of love. You do it out of appreciation for all that God has done for us. And that's the way it is with everything in the Christian life. All the things that we know God wants us to do, and we think and we understand, you know, there's some good behind it. There's certainly some good behind it. Yeah, I'm going to finish this next week. I'll actually be preaching the next couple of weeks. But let me close by talking a little again about my struggle with sports, because, you know, I opened it with a sports illustration, and to be quite honest, you know, it's a struggle for me as well in terms of priorities and how much time I invest in it. It's easy to justify, but I'll tell you, you know, when the Warriors started this series against Houston, and most people thought, okay, these are the top two teams in the whole NBA. You know, this is like the main playoff matchup that's probably going to determine who's going to win the whole NBA championship. So being a Warriors fan, it's kind of like, I'm excited. So I look at the schedule, ESPN, the schedule of the games, and I notice a couple of games fall on Tuesday nights, which is men's Bible study every Tuesday night. So that's right. Some people say, So what am I thinking? I'm like, I might have to miss one of the playoff games between the Warriors and Houston on a Tuesday night. Maybe, here's how the mind works. The mind can kind of play these little games. I should talk to the guys and see if maybe, a lot of them might be interested in the game. And perhaps we need to have a break from our usual Bible study and maybe hang out at a pizza place and watch the game together. Wouldn't that be fun, fellas? Now, we've done that in the past when the Warriors were in the finals against Cleveland and there were certain games that fell on a Tuesday night. Not because I brought it up, but because some of the other guys brought it up. And I'm like, well, okay, let's see what the other guys are like. I'm acting like, oh, yeah, I can go either way. Like, yeah, let's just go. Well, it just happened, I think game four was last Tuesday night. And some of you who've been following, game four was in Oakland. let's see, what happened? I think, what happened with game four? Game four, the Warriors were ahead 2-1, right? And so if they won Tuesday night, they'd be up 3-1, and they pretty much would, lock up the series. Some of you remember. Now, before that happened, I was really tempted to send out a mass email to all the guys Tuesday night and say, hey, the Warriors are playing tomorrow night. We haven't taken a break for pizza and just hanging out, whatever. Would you guys like? And I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I don't want to be the one to take the lead on that. Now, a bunch of other guys want to do it. Hey, I'll go along with it, but I'm not going to take the lead on it just for the basketball game. And some of you remember what happened Tuesday night. Warriors had an excruciating loss at home. It was the first time they lost a playoff game at home in a long time, okay? And afterwards I thought, thank you, God, for the mercy of God that I wasn't home or watching that game. It would have been so frustrating being a Warriors. I'm glad I missed it. I'm glad we had our Tuesday night Bible study. The guys were there. We had a great time. Nobody even brought it up. Nobody even talked about it. Nobody thought about it. Great. Fantastic. And I thought game seven is Monday night. Monday night. If game seven were on Tuesday night, then it might have been even a tougher sort of struggle. I think, anybody else going to bring that up? Come on. It's like, yeah. So just, we all have our struggles. And in our minds is where the battle is, really. In the mind, what are we going to focus on? What are we going to think about? So next week I'll talk about how we can really go about having more victory in these battles in our minds. And God gives us the means in order to have the kind of victory that will enable us to live our lives in that newness that He has created through faith in Christ as children of God, to live out our lives so that our attitudes, our thoughts, our motives, our actions, our values will better reflect what it means to be a child of God. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, thanks again for who You are, the great God of the universe, the God who is so merciful and gracious and loving. And Father, thank You for the new life that we can experience in Christ. And I pray that You'd help all of us, especially those of us who have a personal relationship with You, to understand that there's a struggle, a battle going on all the time in our minds. And we don't want to be just act like we're innocent bystanders on the sideline trying to decide which side that we're going to follow, but to realize that we are Your children and You have given us a whole new life, and we are to live out that life in a manner which honors and pleases You as our Heavenly Father. So Father, thank You again for this time of worship. We give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.